Our gospel this second Sunday in Lent comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 13th chapter. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." But Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The word of the Lord. Please be seated. A part of me has always wondered whether Jesus knew what he was getting himself into as he continued his journey toward his ultimate destination. What I mean is, I wonder if Jesus knew that along the way he would make enemies, and ultimately they would conspire to bring about his death on a cross. Over and over again in Scripture we hear tales of Jesus coming into conflict with the religious leaders of his time. And now today we get a little bit of a different conflict. Some Pharisees come to Jesus and warn him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Now, in most of our texts where Jesus comes into conflict, Pharisees are right in the middle of it. But it seems that some Pharisees actually like Jesus enough to warn him about this potential threat coming from the rule of Herod, who has authority over the region of Galilee that Jesus is spending most of his time in ministry. But as we catch up to Jesus in our text this morning, we find that Jesus has already committed himself to leaving Galilee. He has set his face toward Jerusalem and is slowly working his way south toward that great city, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. Not sure that that would make it in the tourism brochure now that I think about it. But Jesus isn't in a rush to make it to Jerusalem. As he continues his journey through Galilee along the way, there are still people to heal, demons to cast out, and miracles to perform. And just because Jesus is moving in a specific direction doesn't mean that he isn't going to be working along the way. "Go and tell that fox for me," Jesus requests of the Pharisees. "Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem." It seems an odd thing for Jesus to say to Herod, the one who is hunting Jesus. But it's actually kind of clever. Jesus is commissioning the Pharisees to tell Herod ultimately that while he still has work to do along the way, Jesus is heading toward Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is out of Herod's jurisdiction. So if Herod just sits back and waits, this Jesus problem will no longer be his problem but somebody else's. And on top of that, Herod already knows from killing John the Baptist that there will be a backlash if this religious figure is killed by him. Better to leave him to his devices until he angers somebody else, such as Pilate. And it is apparent that Jesus knows what awaits him in Jerusalem. In fact, if this were a book that we were reading for the first time, this is about the point where the foreshadowing would make us think that we know what awaits Jesus as well. But there's more to what Jesus says here today than Jesus recounting Jerusalem's reputation for killing prophets. No, Jesus also speaks of his own desire in the midst of their violence. "How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." Suddenly I get the feeling that we're not just hearing the voice of Jesus, the fully human Son of God, No, we are hearing more fully the voice of Jesus, the fully divine Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father. This is the holiness of God, speaking of the desire that God has always had for God's people. For generations, the same longing has been attested to by the prophets, that the people of Zion would turn from their sin and self-reliance and rely ever more fully on God and God's righteousness. When Christ speaks in our gospel this morning, he is speaking with centuries of divine longing for his people. And this is what a mother hen does. Regardless of the risk to herself, a mother hen gathers her brood and protects them from the elements and the foxes of the world. For Christ, his love for the people of Jerusalem, disobedient as they are, is one that will draw him into greater danger, even to the point where he will be betrayed by those who are close to him, by those that he longs to protect. And we know the results of this journey. Truth be told, Jesus probably does too. And I wish I could say that after all these events, as we look back through the lens of Christian history and the Holy Scripture that we read today, that we aren't like the willful children of Jerusalem, who for generations turned against God's will and pursued their own path. I wish I could say that when Jesus died and was raised that we all got the point and suddenly became perfectly obedient all the time. But let's be honest. We know that isn't the case. Well, at least I know I'm not perfectly obedient all the time. I think we know that we still are just as willful as those people in Jerusalem. It's just that God has changed the rules. When God, through us in Jesus Christ, said yes to a willful people in Jerusalem, God was saying yes no matter what. It wasn't reliant on changing behavior or saying the right words, though Jesus invites them to declare the words that they refused to speak to the prophets. God's yes is only reliant on God. When Jesus came to Jerusalem, when he suffered death as he knew he would and was raised from the dead, the rules finally and irrevocably changed. And all we are and all that we have become here at Messiah is in response to this change. We are the ones who are now invited to declare, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." We are the ones who are still yet willful, but we are also hopeful children. We are the ones who now are invited eternally to respond to the work that God has and is still doing among us. We are not Jerusalem. We aren't. But the same will of God for Jerusalem exists for us, that we might still willingly come to rest in the shadow of Jesus' wings. And if we come to find rest in Christ, it is not just rest for our own sake, but rest so that we might go out into this world to help others find that place of rest that they don't know exists. For finally, in the message of the cross, God's will overrides our will. May we see and experience God's will in our lives. May we know God's work when we see it. For God is doing something new. God did something new on the journey to Jerusalem. God does something new here today at Messiah. And God invites us all to find rest in the obedience of trust found in God's eternal grace. Amen.